Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. While few of God's children are called to live Christian lives that are as dramatic as Paul's, we are all called to live what has been named by some the glorious exchanged life, which is this: Jesus died to save my soul, and now I die to live for Him. Every follower of Jesus has a Rome-like final stop in their earthly pilgrimage. Right now, in every detail, God is working in your life to prepare you for your final ministry. Please open your Bible to Acts 28, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of this book.
In verse 11, then after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Now, since the crew and the passengers left Crete in October or November, how do we know that? Because it was after the fast in chapter 27, verse 9. And then they were in the storm for 2 weeks. Their 3 months stay in Malta brought them through the winter. So now it's February and March. And they get on this ship, and they have these two heads of the ship, figureheads of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We know, according to Greek mythology, that they were the heavenly twin sons of Zeus and Leda. They were like good luck charms. And again, here we stand back, oh boy, are these guys pagans. You ever go to the Renaissance Fair? No, don't. People go, and somebody will be in a tent and go, hey, I'd like to read your palm and tell you what your future is. Oh, okay, here. Or how about the daily horoscope? Or how about if you put some crystals on your head or something like this, you know? Just as pagan. The bottom line is that every human being, every image of bearer of God needs. We all have desperate needs, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, right? And if you do not turn to Jesus Christ, you will turn to alternative means of getting your need met. The ultimate help that we need comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. And in verse 12, landing at Syracuse, no, that's not in New York. Actually, it's believed to be Sicily. There we tarried 3 days, and from there they sailed around to Rhegium, and then we came to Petulii, and we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we start going towards Rome. Now, it's interesting here. It should be noted that Paul's letter to the Romans had been sent several years earlier before he arrived. That's when in Romans 1:10, he says, I pray for a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And notice it says, we found brethren. Now, if you were to say this morning, I found my keys, what am I to be thinking? That you had lost them somewhere and you were looking for them. Now, again, this so encourages me, because here's Paul, the apostle, Dr. Luke, Aristarchus, they land on this certain place, they land here, and for 7 days, they found fellowship. They realized the need for fellowship. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize the need that you and I have for fellowship? Kingdom fellowship? I'm not talking about just meeting like we do Sunday morning, Wednesday nights. I'm talking about during the week. The need for fellowship, how we need fellowship. Iron sharpening iron, praying with one another, encouraging one another. And so I would encourage you today, if there's people that you've met downstairs and you eat the donuts or you eat the fruit and you drink the coffee and you drink the tea, and you say, you know, well, we should get together sometime. Make it a point to get together sometime. I remember when I graduated in 1966, a bunch of guys says, let's get together and golf. I'm still waiting. I mean, it's not easy. You may be shy, but say, hey, you know, I'd like to get to know you and invite them over and just open your house. And here we see that Paul looked for fellowship. I love that. I love being together with brothers and sisters and hearing their story and what God is doing in their life. In fact, if you read Romans chapter 16, there's at least 26 people that Paul named that he had seen, that he knew. And so they went from there, when the brethren heard of us, and they came to meet us as far as Pephorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, notice he thanked God and took courage. Now again, you look at your map and you see how far these people went to have fellowship. 43 miles, 33 miles, the Appian Way was the queen of the long roads to the city of Rome. Why am I saying that? They didn't get from one place to another because they called Uber. They didn't have vehicles. They didn't have airplanes. Many of the times, they would walk that far. Imagine just on your odometer, 33 miles, all right? How far would that be? Would you walk that far for fellowship? Well, I mean, that's worth saying, right? Well, it's too far. Where? I live at the end of the street. The thing of it is that there should be, and I'm not, don't let the enemy play a guilt trip with you. The point is that sometimes you go out of your way to have fellowship with people, out of your way. But it's always so rewarding. How many of you have found that to be true? How wonderful it is to get together with brothers and sisters and just fellowship with the Lord. Notice it says, they came to meet us. The noun translated to meet was used in the Greek literature to describe an entourage coming out of a city to meet an official going to a city. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, believers are caught up to meet, same word, the Lord in the air. We're going to meet him, and then he's taking us home. Amen. We're going to meet him, and he's taking us home. And when we came to Rome, finally, that's what you're probably saying. How many of you think that when Paul landed at Rome, at least one thought he had was, I didn't expect it to take this long or to be this adventurous? How many of you have an adventurous Christian life? Not too many of you raise your hand. Lord, give them an adventurous Christian life. There's something about this journey. I have no doubt that when Paul arrived, he probably said, oy vey, everything that happened, and yet everything that happened wasn't by accident. It was all by divine providence. You see, and you and I, as believers, we don't know where the location is for our last ministry. But right now, God is working in you and me towards that destination. He's working in us. The boat rides, the surprises, all of these things. He's working in us. The Bible says both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And sometimes it's an adventure. But how glorious it is when you and I are walking in the Spirit. And he comes to Rome, and he was delivered, and the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to live under house arrest. Now, house arrest means he had the freedom to come and go, but for the most part, he would be chained to a Roman soldier for an hour, both his arms would be chained to a Roman soldier for an hour, a period of 6 hours at a time. And so it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. And now for this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak unto you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So Paul says, I'm here by God's design to speak to you about the hope of Israel. I find that very significant. Paul's primary purpose for God sending him to Rome was to be a witness of the gospel, was that he would be a messenger that Jesus Christ, the Mashiach, was and is the hope of Israel. Our world needs hope. And if you're not hoping in Jesus Christ, people are going to hope in other things, aren't they? A political savior, whatever, a financial savior, some kind of a religious counterfeit savior. And there's a hope that we have. That hope is Jesus Christ. In Joel 3:16, Old Testament, the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Colossians 1:27, God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's part of our armor, having on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Wherever you and I go today, we go as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can go and share a hope that the world can't give them. Isn't it awesome? He's entrusted us with that privilege to do that, to share hope. Paul had nothing else to share with these lost religious Jews except the hope that he had and that they could have in Jesus Christ. Peter would put it this way, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Something that I'm learning more and more, and probably you've already arrived. I love just listening to unsaved people talk. I really do. I say, yeah, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. And so, oh, you know, the eyes roll. And they're thinking, okay. I said, well, listen, tell me, what's your worldview? Just let them talk. They'll talk themselves right to the foot of the cross. What's your worldview? Where did you come from? Where are you going? Why are you doing what you're doing? We're on a plane. I just told a guy recently, you and I are on a plane. You tell me you don't know what you believe. The captain says the plane's going down. What do you tell me? Knock on wood? I ain't gonna do it. You see, we have hope. Do you believe that? Do you have a message that can transform a person's life, not only on earth, but for all eternity? Do you really believe that? Paul knew that the reason for that storm and everything that he went through was when he landed in Rome was to share the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, they tell him in verse 11, we never received these letters. And it could be that they're not lying. Remember that they got on another boat because the first boat had some problems. And so they said, all we heard was of this radical group called Christians. It's called a sect, S-E-C-T in verse 22. In fact, Paul was called a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And when they appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. And so now they're coming, they want to hear. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening. Notice it says, they came to him, and what did Paul do? He opened to them, beloved, the scriptures. That's what you do when people come to you. You open to them the scriptures. The word expound means to set forth plainly. And it says in Mark 4:34, Jesus expounded all things to the disciples. It says at the end of Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all things in all scriptures, the things concerning himself. In Acts 18:26, Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Don't think that you have to be a theologian to expound the word of God. Now, you may not be called by God to be a theologian or to be a teacher, but every believer should be a student of Scripture, that you might know how to answer people who ask you the reason of the hope that is with you, and know how to clearly present the Word of God. But what a challenge. You and I, as Bible believers, should be able to lead someone to salvation, talk about end times, whatever, just from reading Genesis to Zechariah. Because the gospel is plainly there. It's all there. In fact, we're seeing end times events happen that were prophesied in the Old Testament, not just on the Olivet Discourse. And so pray. And if some of you have like a reading disability or a reading disorder, then there's audio Bible. Just put the Word of God on and let it minister to your heart. And the Holy Spirit is the wonderful teacher. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you wisdom if you simply ask Him. And so here they are expounding out of the Scriptures, Paul and no doubt Luke and Aristarchus and any one that was with him. They talk about the kingdom of God. Did you know that all of the references to the kingdom of God are found in the New Testament? They're mysterious in the Old Testament, but they are revealed in the New Testament. That's a kingdom. That's a kingdom that is not physical. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But it does have a physical aspect of it. There's going to be the kingdom of God established on earth. We're going to enter into an eternity, the kingdom of God. But here's the thing. You don't join it. You've got to be born into it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Maybe the testimony of that person who sat in church for 30 years and heard the Word of God, but something never clicked until the Holy Spirit opened his eyes. Maybe today that would be you. And what a wonderful thing that would be if that is you. And notice he's teaching the Word of God from morning to evening. And in verse 24, some believed and some did not. Have you ever done that? Shared it with people? Some believe, some don't believe. You don't pat yourself in the back if they do believe, but do you feel guilty if they don't? That's not you. You're not responsible. We're only responsible to share the Word of God. That's so freeing, to share the truth that you know. Share it in love. Share it from your heart. You're not responsible for results. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. Just simply be obedient. And so when they had gathered, they did not agree, verse 25, this group of Jewish people among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. You know what that one word was? Gentiles. They couldn't believe that God, the salvation of God, included the Gentiles. In fact, that is called in Ephesians, it is called the mystery. The Jew and the Gentile coming together in Yeshua. It's mentioned in Romans chapter 11. They didn't see that. They were blinded to that. And notice when they didn't come to agreement, he says, well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Part of the reason why they became dull of hearing was because the teaching that they received was wrong. They just weren't hearing the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you and I hear the Word of God. Amen? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. This quote from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 is found 7 times in the New Testament. This is the last time. When it is mentioned in Matthew 13, verses 16 through 18, it speaks about how the seed is sown. It's the Word of God. And then it falls on 4 different kinds of soil. And so he says in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. William Barclay wrote, quote, at the beginning, Luke gave us his plan for Acts when he told how Jesus commanded his followers to bear witness for him in Jerusalem and over all Judea and Samaria and away to the ends of the earth. Now the tale is finished. The story that began in Jerusalem more than 30 years earlier had finished in Rome. It is nothing less than a miracle of God. The church, which at the beginning of Acts could be numbered in tens, cannot now be numbered in tens of thousands. The story of the crucified man of Nazareth has swept across the world in its conquering course until now, without interference, it is being preached in Rome, the capital of the world, and the gospel is still being spread. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that the gospel must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. In verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. They're trying to sort out, what does all of this mean? And it's a very, very serious thing for you to know. If you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's sad, but you read the obituary columns, and sometimes people who expected to be living many days got in an unfortunate accident and died. Today, now is the accepted time. The Bible tells us that you and I need to make our calling and election sure. So here, Paul, we end up in verse 30 and 31. He dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. One of them was a man by the name of Onesimus, remember? We read about him in the book of Philemon. And what does Paul do? He preaches the kingdom of God and teaches those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidden him. What do you do when you're in a prison? What do you do when you're quarantined because of COVID? Well, first of all, the church is never on lockdown, right? There's always ways to meet. There's always ways to get out and to have fellowship. You know what Paul did in prison? He wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. And anybody that came in, guess what he did? He shared with them the gospel. And you and I, as Christians, there are going to be times when we're in prisons. Sometimes relational prisons. Sometimes financial prisons. There's all kinds of prisons that we can find ourselves in. And here's the thing, guys. We have to all be careful. Because if you begin to just focus on the prison, you'll be down and sour and out. Instead of being prison conscious, be Savior conscious. There's a reason for that. Use it redemptively. Use it to share the gospel with others. We know that at this point in time, Paul would be released. He would go to Spain. He would go through Europe. He would be arrested again. He would be placed in solitary confinement. And then he would finally end up being crucified in the place that God had destined for him to end his life in around 67 or 68 AD. You notice at the end of this book, there is no amen. There isn't an amen. You know why? Because the book of Acts continues. Not adding to scripture, that's what God is doing in your life and in my life and in the life of every local church. The gospel is still being spread, isn't it? And that's good news. That's an assignment given to every one of us. I love how Paul prayed and shared with all confidence. Don't let the enemy or the world intimidate you. Share the word of God lovingly, but share with all confidence. Share the gospel with passion. Share the gospel in love. There is power in the word of God. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. Haven't you found that out? It will pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It will cut. It will dig deep. It will convict. It will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And the world out there may not be telling you us. They probably won't, but you know what? They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth about Jesus, because the end is coming soon. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.